Hi, welcome to Alone But Not Lonely, the site for the single person learning to become comfortable with living alone, not necessarily by choice, but due to circumstances and or a lack of viable selections. I am Selena, your host on this journey. Before we begin, please accept this as a disclaimer. I do not offer advice. I only offer suggestions. I offer suggestions so that the person listening may exercise his or her right to choose. What worked for me may not necessarily work for you. Now, having said that, let's begin our journey. Today's journey is named Overcoming Fear. I'm speaking about this today because it is one of the emotions that keeps us from connecting with others, moving forward in life, attempting something new, and or leaving something familiar. Fear is the reason why some of us rarely try anything new. For instance, fear of failure might sound something like this. If I were to leave my current position to begin a new career, I might fail. Therefore, I should probably play it safe and remain where I am. On the other hand, fear of being successful might sound something like this. I can do this, but if I succeed, then I'll have to continue to be successful. Since I don't want to deal with the pressure that comes with success, I might as well not try. Of course, there's fear of rejection. This fear keeps a person from reaching out to others in search of friendship or any other type of human relationship. Fear of rejection often results in both loneliness and regret. I recently read a meme that says, "Everything you've ever wanted is on the other side of fear." How true that is. According to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, fear is an unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by anticipation of awareness of danger, to which I'll add, whether real or perceived. The second definition for fear says it is the state of being concerned and anxious. Now, don't get me wrong. Many people have a fear of certain things, usually animals. Most people are afraid of snakes, lions, tigers, and bears. And for good reason, these animals actually have the ability to end our lives. Consequently, we are aware of the danger that can occur when encountering these types of situations. The word fear is also used with reference to God, parents, and other authority figures. So, the use of fear in these instances are about showing respect and deference to individuals. Now, when we speak about the second part of the definition that deals with worry and anxiety over a situation, this definition is, in fact, the one about which I'm speaking. Many of us use acronyms as mnemonic devices to aid our memorization skills. For instance, there are a few acronyms used to describe fear. These first two describe fear's negative connotation. The first is forget everything and run. This is the flight that occurs when one becomes afraid of a challenge. The other is false events appearing real. This reminds us that what we think is true may actually be false. One version of Edgar Allan Poe's quote is, "Believe none of what you hear and only half of what you see." We don't believe what we hear because typically it's secondhand and it may have been delivered erroneously. The reason we only believe half of what we see is because we can look at a situation and in viewing it, it may not be exactly what we think it is. An example of a fear-producing anxiety which occurred in my life was when I was a 21-year-old executive secretary for a coal transportation company in California. I had a car payment, insurance, rent, utilities, etc. I didn't just want to exist, however. I wanted to live and enjoy my life. I needed more money for clothes and entertainment. So I had to muster up the courage to ask the boss for a raise. However, before I spoke with him, I shared my concerns with the corporate secretary. Arlene asked me to make a list of the tasks that I've assumed above and beyond my normal duties as listed on my job description. She let me practice asking for a raise with her. Then she did something for me that, as an insecure 21-year-old, I treasure until this day. Arlene explained to me that I had value and worth. She added that I should never be afraid to ask to be paid for the work that I do. After all, we work to get paid. Finally, she calmed my nerves by reminding me that the big boss could only say yes or no. Either way, I would receive an answer. One I might like, the other I might not like. But if I didn't ask, I might miss out on an opportunity. In other words, nothing ventured, nothing gained. So I went into Kobayashi-san's office, nervous and scared. I remember handing a copy of my increased duties to him. I sat in the chair opposite his desk, wishing it'd swallow me whole. I felt like a little girl asking my dad for the car. I recall detailing each added duty to him, then hurriedly including general information about my living expenses. Following my spiel and a few questions, Kobayashi-san told me he'd give me an answer within a day or two. Whew, it was over. I was quite pleased that I'd made the pitch. Sure, I was nervous and scared, but a couple of days later, I wound up receiving $100 per month extra in my paycheck. That amounted to $1,200 more per year in my pocket. I was ready to shop and party, okay? Needless to say, I never hesitated since then to ask for a raise if I felt I was due one. I know my value. More than that, I know that my time is valuable. The point of this example is to help the listener understand that once I pass through the door of fear to actually open my mouth to ask for what I wanted, I became empowered. Do note a couple of things, however. I practiced with someone what I wanted to say. I've continued the method of practicing with a friend prior to venturing into most uncharted territories. The good thing is that no matter how scared I am, I still follow through with asking for what I want. And the second thing, I ask superiors for what I want. I do not demand, I do not infer, but I do defer to authority. Because when I've supervised individuals, I expected the same respect. So, even though I ask for what I want and say what needs to be said, it's all done in a professional as well as respectful manner. So, if everything we've ever wanted is on the other side of fear, how do we get to the other side? How do we summon the courage to achieve what we desire? Even though some define courage as permitting one to face extreme dangers and difficulties without fear, others of us submit that courage does not exist with the absence of fear, but courage exists in spite of fear. Consequently, the emotion of fear is present whenever we attempt something new. So, how do we make it to the other side of fear? First, let me introduce you to another acronym for fear. Face everything and respond. Since fear makes some people run, then if we respond, we are actually standing up to fear. Having said that, I'll let you in on a secret. There is something much more powerful than fear. Perhaps you've heard this riddle before. Fear not, faith answered. There was no one there. So the opposite of fear is faith. According to the dictionary again, faith is a noun that means a firm belief in something for which there is not proof. Another definition is recorded at Hebrews 11:1. It states that faith is the assured expectation of what is hoped for, the evident demonstration of realities that are not seen. Now, both of these definitions convey the thought that faith relies heavily on trust, a trust in someone who will keep his or her word or do the thing that she or he promised, a trust that the unknown will materialize. Therefore, faith is an unwavering, complete trust in someone or in some process. There's some acronyms for that too, of course. One would be forwarding all issues to him. And one that I coined is find answers in trusting him. Of course, each of these have a spiritual connotation, but don't we each believe in something? Many atheists believe in science, therefore science is their God. I know agnostics who call on the name of Jesus. Nevertheless, these are a few of the acronyms that may assist with overcoming fear if you so choose to use them. Since fear is a negative emotion, we have to invoke its opposite in order to overcome it. It's like if I want to stop lying, I have to be honest. To stop hating, I must love. To not be envious, I must be grateful. And so on. So, in order to stop being fearful, I have to have faith that everything's going to be all right. By having only positive expectations, I can have hope. Remaining in the positive allows me to avoid the paralyzing effect of fear that we witness in films. As with most things, we have to practice doing what is uncomfortable until it becomes comfortable. I'm often reminded of Michael Jordan when I think of an individual overcoming fear. He was rejected by his peers at the swimming pool on account of the color of his skin. Then he was rejected by a basketball coach. Instead of him feeling sorry for himself, he practiced and practiced and practiced. In fact, he once said, "I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I've failed over and over and over again in my life." But the beautiful thing is that Michael Jordan understood the meaning of everything you've ever wanted is on the other side of fear, because he knew that if he did not walk through fear, he'd never find out who he could become. The same holds true for each of us. Until we go on the other side of fear, we may not receive all that we've ever wanted. So let's walk through fear by having faith that what we want is already ours. Let's not let fear rule us. No. Let me say it this way. Let's not let fear ruin our lives. Let's answer the knock of fear with faith, because faith can vanquish fear. Remember, fear knocked, faith answered, no one was there. So, even if false events appear real, I can face everything and respond. So, I thank you for both your time and for listening to Overcoming Fear. Until next time, this is Selena, your host for Alone But Not Lonely.